Welcome. This is Efrat Sabalevsky from YU Connects, happy to introduce Candidate, a candid conversation about today's dating life with experienced guests. Our wonderful host this evening is Rabbi Larry Rothwax, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Aaron in Teaneck, New Jersey, and Director of Professional Rabbinics at Yeshiva University. This podcast is anonymously sponsored Le'iloi Nishmas Chanoch Chaim Ben Yaakov HaKohen.
Hello, my name is Larry Rothwax, and I'm privileged to join today as a guest host for Candidate, the podcast by YU Connects, which offers candid conversations about dating and relationships. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with our special guest, Penina Pflug. Penina has been a successful psychotherapist for almost 20 years after receiving her MSW from Fordham University in 2003. In 2006, she moved with her family to Boca Raton, where she has her own private practice. Penina received advanced training in emotionally focused therapy, and in her practice, she focuses on couples and relationship therapy, as well as premarital and marriage enhancement workshops. Hello, Penina, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rabbi Rothwax. Thank you for having me here today. I'm really excited to be here to do this interview. I'm always so impressed with YU Connects and what they continue to do for our community.
Our pleasure. So clearly, you have many areas of professional experience for us to reflect upon. And for myself, especially in the context of these podcast discussions, I feel sort of like a child in a candy shop because there are so many nice options to choose from. But in order to stay focused in our conversation today, I'd like to focus in on one feature of your bio that I just read, and that is the idea of premarital education, marriage enhancement workshops. Now, this is very intriguing because I think for many of us, we think of anything having to do with marital counseling as being somehow remedial, a measure which is coming as a response, as a reaction to a problem. But clearly, if we're describing over here an approach, an experience which is proactive, more of an educational one, as opposed to a remedial one. So this is something which is, at least for myself, new and exciting, and would love to hear your thoughts on what it is that you do and how we could all benefit from it.
Okay, so in terms of talking about premarital education, so it's different from therapy. It's not when there's a problem. It's just, like you said, proactive teaching skills to help people have successful marriages, teaching them to understand their own patterns better and how to bond, how to communicate.
Right.
So it's preventive. It's preventative medicine. It's like investing in your marriage, whether it's before the marriage or during the marriage, saying, you know what, I would just like to enhance my relationship with my spouse. We want more connection. We want to focus more on our relationship.
Right.
That would be the marriage enhancement piece.
Right. And when you think about it, just to sort of make a case for it before we've even defined it very clearly, I mean, we all know that all couples put a lot of time and effort into preparing their wedding, setting up their first home and apartment, selecting, you know, registries and all different, you know, items and appliances for their kitchen, a new home. And a lot of time and thought goes into setting themselves up for success. When we're talking about, you know, educating each member of this couple in a way that they will hopefully be able to, as you said, connect, communicate, problem solve together in a way that will be effective. So this should be, it should be sort of a no-brainer as far as preparation for marriage is concerned. So let me ask you, I would have assumed that communicating, problem solving, bonding with another, these sound like experiences that just come natural to us. I mean, you know, most of us do not seek education in general when it comes to learning how to interact with other people. If I start a new job, if I'm moving into an apartment with friends. So I don't necessarily go out of my way to prepare for that experience by sitting down and learning about the art of communication. So why is this different?
Okay, so I think that's a misconception. A lot of times we think or we grow up looking at the world and we just assume that I'm a nice person, I'll be a good husband, a good father, and we don't pay attention to, it doesn't come naturally. Many people need help and we could only do better if we're prepared properly with the skills.
Right. And so we're assuming that we've got this covered because more or less in different areas of our life, be it at home with members of our extended family, within our friendships, and at work. So we choose places and spaces which are comfortable for us and navigate our way through them almost intuitively. I guess marriage is a little different because here we are forced to achieve a measure of success in all of these areas. And if and when, you know, there's any sort of turbulence, if you will, so we don't necessarily have the skills, the tools that we always assumed that we had to deal with them. So in terms of your premarital education, is this a program that is designed to address the specific needs of each and every couple, or is it more of a general approach that you would use for every couple?
It's a general approach, the psychoeducational piece that teaches all aspects of a healthy relationship. Communication, managing differences, intimacy, making decisions, roles, goals.
Okay, so maybe I'll follow your lead over here. Let's just pick up on a few of those and maybe just talk a little bit, obviously not to give us the entire curriculum right here, but maybe just to, you know, give us okay. A basic idea as what the framework is, the structure, areas of focus within some of these items.
Okay, and I just want to say that when I talk about the details of a premarital program, I'm talking about the one that I provide. However, I think that there's a great benefit to any type of premarital education that's research-based, really. There are many out there. The one that I chose to do, it goes along with the type of therapy that I do, emotionally focused couples therapy. It's based on the same theory. So we start with teaching couples about attachment, which means that all of us, all humans, have a need to be in a warm and responsive relationship with emotional safety, where we know that somebody's there for us. As children, we need to know that our parent or primary caregiver is there for us, that there's a safe place to talk about our feelings. And then as adults, we all need to have that in a love relationship, somebody there for us, somebody knowing that someone has our back. So we talk about the importance of attachment. We teach couples how to bond, how to be there for each other. We teach, but we also do interactive exercises where we actually show the couples how to be there for each other, how to listen, how to create safety in an emotional relationship. And we talk about managing differences. We help couples understand their own patterns in relationships, where they get triggered. And then how to deal with those triggers effectively so that the communication doesn't break down.
Fantastic. I mean, there's so much here. It's really, really amazing. Yeah. And what I find, you know, potentially most exciting about this is I can imagine a young couple, you know, very much in love, in the stages of preparing for their wedding, their marriage, preoccupied with so many things on their mind. And if and when there are any disagreements, when there are challenges, they probably move through them rather quickly and don't really have the time or the ability to focus on, you know, some of these very, very key and essential components for successful relationships going forward. So like you said, the differences. On a very superficial level, I imagine that every Avram and Sarah out there, when they're dating and then engaged, so they know what the difference is. You like milchiks, I like fleishiks. You know, you like scary movies, I like comedies. But when we're talking about obviously the more profound differences, the personality differences, you know, what makes you tick, you know, how do you respond when you're feeling anxious, things like this, they're not necessarily focusing. And I'm not sure that there are other people in their lives that are noticing. And if they do, frankly, have the skills, the wherewithal, and it may not be appropriate for them to sort of step in and say, listen, I've noticed, you know, that there's a lot of misfiring in this area. So here you have a situation, if I understand correctly, where a couple is coming to you, interacting with you, and in a very safe place, in the sort of controlled environment, you are able to address with them proactively, you know, some of the issues that may latently sort of be there on their minds, on their hearts, but they haven't been able to express them to each other and perhaps not even to themselves. So it seems to me that this is something that could be quite beneficial.
And also, they haven't been triggered because they haven't been in a love relationship yet. They haven't been in a marriage. So they've never really seen those triggers play out yet.
Mm-hmm. Do you have situations where couples meet with you and you do such an effective job in letting them know all that they're going to need to do in order to have a successful relationship that you scare them and they want to run the other way and say, wait a second. Marriage sounds much more difficult than I ever imagined it to be.
That's a great question. A lot of people ask this question about premarital counseling. Will the couple get scared, or will talking about issues create problems? But actually, the opposite is true. When a couple learns about how to bond, how to communicate, they leave feeling very hopeful and excited to start their lives together and more equipped to walk down the aisle.
So let me ask you, it sounds like your career started in psychotherapy more in terms of the more of the traditional therapy, where you would see couples who were experiencing some degree of marital discord or distress. And then at a certain point, you shifted to this preventative model, as you describe it. Were there things that you were seeing within marriages, couples have been married for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, patterns, other experiences that would be recurring, which brought you to this realization that, you know, if only I had a chance to sit with this couple 5, 10, 15, 20 years earlier, so maybe we could have set them on a different course.
Yes, definitely. I definitely came to this from my experience both in and out of the office, you know, seeing, you know, people suffer very deeply in marriages for a long time. And one issue actually is that a lot of people would wait to get help for a long time. So part of my plan and hope is that if we give more premarital counseling education, we give more premarital education and we normalize that everyone can use help. We all go through difficult times in our marriage and our lives, that then couples will be more willing to get help if they need it, but also they'll understand their patterns and they'll know how to deal with it better. They'll be better equipped. Like, it's like we're giving an instructional manual for mm-hmm. marriage.
Right. And also the fact is that they've formed a relationship with you as an individual, as a professional. And even if they would not necessarily, for whatever reason, be able to or choose to go back to you, a little bit of the discomfort, the stigma, whatever resistance there would be to actually sit with another individual, with a third party to help us move through a certain issue that we're having. So you're able to sort of address that proactively. I mean, it's my impression that to the extent that there is a stigma when it comes to individuals or couples seeking counseling, once they've had the experience and it's been a meaningful, fulfilling one, and they've been able to sort of reap the benefits of having a meaningful psychotherapeutic counseling experience, so they're not as bothered by it anymore. And to the contrary, they may even crave for it again. So I'm plugging your program, but I think another idea over here, which I think is one that we should certainly highlight, is that it's very helpful for a couple to know before they would ever potentially need it that this is something that could be very worthwhile and very fulfilling and very effective in sort of helping you manage some of the issues that you may encounter.
I think can I add something to what
you course.
Said?
Of course. It's your
so
job
I think
to add.
That when you're engaged and you're thinking about your wedding and starting your life together, you're thinking about the beauty of getting married, and that's great and that's wonderful. But if without premarital education, you're not of the mindset of, you know, we're going to go through, we're going to have stressors in our lives, and that those are going to make us stronger as a couple. Those are going to bring us closer if we know how to handle it, if we know how to reach for support, if we know how to ask for help from a therapist or from a family member. If we know that this is very normal, that any happily married couple that you see, they're working on their marriage. It doesn't come naturally. Great marriages take a great amount of work. So I think that if we explain to them before, when you go through difficult times, it's going to bring you closer. When you learn how to be there for each other and repair fights or hurt that happens in the relationship, trauma in the relationship, I'm talking about little trauma or big trauma, that will bring you closer, that just going in with your eyes more open. Mm-hmm. I think that's very helpful. And not to scare them off, like you said, but just to normalize that we all need help. It's not a strength to not ask for help.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So and again, I'm not asking necessarily in terms of your own practice and locally what's going on in Boca, but just zooming out a little bit, what are your impressions in terms of where we are as a community? And again, I'm not talking about any specific local community, but the community of individuals that will likely be listening to this recording, where are we? How popular or unpopular is premarital education? And I guess depending on how you answer that question, you know, I'll decide how to follow up with my next question.
Okay, so I think that it's pretty unpopular, premarital education. I think most firm couples are not having premarital education courses. I think it's becoming more popular in the world at large, not in our community yet. I think that we've come a long way with getting rid of the stigma, reducing the stigma for therapy since we were kids, right? There's much less of a stigma. You know, people are getting more help and talking about it. But when it comes to premarital education, I think people are not getting it. It's not happening enough at all. And I really think it should be the norm, because why wouldn't we want it?
Is that a reflection of that stigma that still exists on a certain level? Is it people don't have time? They don't want to invest the resources in this? Why is it that something which seems to be so obvious and something which could be so beneficial? I can't think of any downside. I could be wrong. But it's hard for me to imagine a scenario in which a couple commits themselves to this process and comes out less prepared for marriage than they were beforehand.
Right.
I guess the worst case scenario, just to put it out there, is that they will discover that there are areas of potential incompatibility that they really, really want to think about clearly and reconcile, you know, before their wedding. But, and again, I could be wrong, but I imagine in most cases that will not happen, and they will complete the course, get straight A's, and be more prepared for marriage and for life. So it seems
like a win-win, right?
Right. So where's the problem? And it's interesting, you noted that it seems to be more popular, I assume you mean on a, you know, per capita basis in the world at large. Is that something we should take a look at? I mean, why is it more successful out there? Is it being marketed differently? Is it about the stigma? There's some unique stigma within our community. Does it have to do with the length of time of engagements? I don't know.
I think for some reason, it's just not the standard practice. Like, you know, people go for chasen and challah classes, but they're not being educated in high school and seminary. They're not being told by the, I think a lot of rabbis that will be, well, a lot of rabbis that marry couples do mention it, but they don't say, well, this is something that you need to do. But, you know, I have heard from some rabbis that they actually require it. I just think it's not the standard practice for some reason. I think if you talk to any parents, they'll say, oh yeah, we wish we had this for sure. We want our kids to do it, you know, or, you know, most
I
parents.
That's
think
true.
Say
I mean,
that.
I do think all parents would say, yeah, I wish we had it and I would like for my kids to have it. But I wonder how many parents out there who are already aware of these types of programs and these, you know, these educational sessions that could be available to them and their children. I wonder how many of them are going to really promote it and I dare say push it and really encourage their children to do it. I can imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, that within any, you know, typical engagement situation, you may have one set of parents that think this is a good idea, but maybe they're a little hesitant to put it out there and to push it because the idea hasn't been suggested, or maybe there's not the same level of buy-in on the other side. And I'm just thinking aloud with you. You know, I could see already this weird dynamic where, you know, you don't want to spook anyone. You don't want to scare them with chutanim. You know, we have, you know, 3 months before the wedding, the hall has already been booked. Everything's fine. So now I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to tell my Chani that she has to convince her husband that that they should go for premarital education. I know you told me, and I agree with you. It's not therapy, but still, they're going to. So, you know, I imagine that this is one scenario of many where you're going to hit this resistance, and there is a tendency that we all have to sort of assume it's all going to work out. Like you said, nice guy, nice girl, nice families. It's going to be a beautiful celebration. Shalom al Yisrael. But we know that it's just not that simple.
Right.
how can we, I mean, you've told me, and I'm happy to hear this, that there are some rabbis that really insist upon it, but how can we as parents and educators and rabbis be more helpful in promoting this agenda? And I know that you're down in Boca, but I'm just wondering, within individual communities, how much marketing is out there? Do people really know that these programs exist? How to access them? How familiar are they? I don't know. But in other words, I would love to hear any ideas you have as to how we could be more helpful in promoting this, not only to send you more business, but more importantly, to preserve shalom in many future homes.
I think that, when you talk about the parents, I think as parents, we can educate our kids as age appropriate, just like we educate them about marriage or relationships as age appropriate. We can educate them about, okay, that their parents have to work on their relationship. Parents have to prioritize each other. Parents have to go on date night. And we can talk about premarital education. We can talk about it on the high school level when they talk about, when they give courses, life skills, life cycles, or marriage courses. I really think to make a bigger impact, we really need somehow to get Rabbanim who are officiating, who are doing the weddings, to strongly suggest or require that couples do this. If you think about it, why not? Like, what's the big deal? I mean, okay, time and money get in the way, but still, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah,
it really
shouldn't
should
be a big
required.
Deal. Yeah, I think rabbis, like parents in this regard, are going to need to feel, that there is sort of a community wide standard in order to be able to have the courage, if you will, to be able to really insist upon something like this. But when you think about it, we've seen over the past generation, for example, the prenup agreement, which has become very, very standard and commonplace within our community. There are many rabbis who will not officiate without it. And even those who will, on a case-by-case basis, perhaps consider an exception, but it is very much the standard. I mean, and it took years to get to that point, but slowly but surely, a movement started, and it was very, very successful in creating this new standard. So now a rabbi doesn't necessarily feel, that degree of discomfort. And by the way, there are young rabbanim out there, rabbis who in some cases may be officiating for a couple who are 4, 5, 10 years older than him. And for him to sit there and say, I've been married 2 years and let me tell you, so I agree.
Well, he can say research shows
education. Yeah. But I agree that the rabbis need to get on board. I'm one of them. And I think this is fantastic. But if we can promote it, more widely and really try to reach out to as many groups of people as possible, then slowly but surely we can really, hopefully, make this more of a standard. Let me ask you, do couples meet together in these groups, or it always happens one-on-one?
So there's an option. I like to do it one-on-one. I haven't yet done it as a group. And I do feel that, in our community, couples would feel more comfortable doing one couple at a time. But they can definitely go to a class. There are classes where you can do it in a group setting.
Yeah. I know it's not our topic for now, but I know that there are other efforts within the community to educate young couples regarding financial management, which I imagine on a certain level intersects with some of these issues, because obviously marital strife often, not only, but finances and management of some finances and how money is spent and budgeted can certainly be an issue which would trigger tension within a marriage. But it's another area where I've heard over the past couple of years, there has been a growing movement of people that have been saying, listen, clearly we know this couple, like every other couple, they're going to need the skills. They're going to need to be sufficiently educated to be able to navigate some of the unique challenges they're going to face as they embark upon this new level of independence. Let us at least begin a conversation with them so that they can be more prepared than they would otherwise have been. And this is another area which is, again, just as much, if not more, profound and foundationally important. We really, really need to get the message out there. Any other thoughts or suggestions or concluding remarks ideas that you want to share with us? No pressure.
Well, I recently made it my mission to promote awareness about the importance of premarital education. I met with many rabbis throughout the country and different organizations. And the other part that I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to get more therapists to take a course in premarital education, since I'm hoping that people are going to be asking for it after we create awareness. And then I'm trying to put together a website or something of professionals that can give this course. Also, a college teacher or a rabbi, a teacher, you don't have to be a therapist to take a premarital education course. So, I mean, sometimes I wonder, do we want to train the chassan and kala teachers to give this? Mm-hmm. Is that too much? You know,
I just thought of a great idea, and I'm going to challenge any of our listeners who think it's a good idea. Next time you hear of a couple that gets engaged, give them a gift. Gift them with whatever it is, 3, 4, 5 sessions with Pnina Pflug or anyone else out there who provides this sort of service. And, you know, I think that's a very, very positive statement, as opposed to just saying, listen, I think this is something that you should do. I think this is so important. I recognize it costs money. Here, you know, here I'm paying for the entire thing or for whatever, half the sessions. It's just one additional way that in a very positive way, the idea could be promoted and shared, and slowly but surely, you know, word will get out. People will find it to be worthwhile, and hopefully we'll start a movement and it'll be very, very successful.
I mean, I wonder if we tell the couples, you're doing this for your future children, maybe they'll be, you know, people invest more in their children than they invest in their marriages.
Yeah. Well, so you know, when I sit with a couple, I very, very rarely at this point encounter any resistance when it comes to the prenup. But what I have been telling couples for years, and I'm sure many of my colleagues do the same, is it's not for you. It's not for you. But by doing this, you're going to tell your friends, and your friends are going to tell their friends that you did it. And therefore, you're going to help create, again, this community standard. And we know that this will help many other people out there. And I agree, because many people are willing to do something for someone else sooner than they would do it for themselves. And so I think that's a great idea. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for your children, Bezos Hashem, in the future, and for all your friends. So you can say, right, we did it, I did it. And slowly but surely, we to the extent that there is a stigma, it becomes reduced over time and more of a community standard. So I think this is great. I'm sold. Do you have any post-marital educational programs?
So the same course that I give to couples when they're engaged, I also give to couples for marriage enhancement. Couples that, not that they don't really need therapy. Uh-huh. They're not, you know, they're not in distress. They just want enhanced.
Looking to make a good marriage great.
Right. Exactly.
Fantastic. Just one more way, by the way, one more way for the people out there who are listening and are convinced, but are trying to think creatively about how to promote this. That's one more way to do it. You know, one of the ways that the prenup generated more and more attention is that there was a great focus that was placed on those people who were already married to sign a postnup agreement and, you know, sort of join this army of people who said, we did it. So just because you've been married a year or two or 5 or 6 or 10, however many years, and even if things are going well, doesn't preclude you from being able to partake of this important educational experience, enhance your marriage, and at the same time, say to young couples who have not yet crossed that threshold, say, we did it. And even though we're 5, 10 years in, we learned something. We have been able to become closer through it. So Allah has kama v'kama, the two of you who have not yet married, this is something that could be very beneficial.
Just to add to that, so something that's evolved from all of my conversations over the past few months with Rabbanim about the importance of premarital education is that I decided when I teach it, I'm going to incorporate 1 or 2 sessions after the wedding, like a few months after the marriage. So it's kind of, you're combining the premarital and the marriage enhancement. I think at that, any transition is difficult, including especially marriage. So I think that that will really help couples to have a premarital educational model that continues after the wedding.
Excellent. Excellent. I know it's not quite the same thing, but I think that, forgive the mashal, but I think that when young Kala buys a shetel before her wedding, So they have a couple of sessions beforehand, and then she's able to come back a month or two later for adjustments
for
and tweaks.
Catch up.
Now, how's it feeling? Is it working? Is this what we discussed? And I know it's not quite the same thing, but the idea is that the precedent for this exists. There are so many areas in which we do this anyway. Everything comes with, you know, come back within 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Let's see how it's working for you. And if it's not, we can always make adjustments. So I think it's a fantastic idea. And I thank you very much for helping us promote this and get the word out there. I'm hoping, and I really, really am hoping that this conversation will spark interest and slowly but surely generate momentum, because this is really a way that we can all see to it that there'll be a greater enhancement of relationships and marriages, Bezos Hashem, throughout our community for many years to come. So thank you, Penina. Thank you for all your time and for your wonderful insights. And Bezos Hashem, you should succeed in your mission.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you. And looking forward to future conversations with you. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And looking forward to having meaningful conversations with you in the future regarding dating and relationships. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you to our gracious host and guests this evening. Please email us at yuconnects@yu.edu to suggest future dating and relationship building topics and guests for your enjoyment. Candidate at YU Connects.